Welcome back to NewsWorks Tonight. I'm Dave Heller. If you're considering whether to take a winter vacation, you'll get some encouragement to do so from Frank Newport, editor-in-chief at the Gallup Poll, who nonetheless is toiling from his office in Princeton, New Jersey. Hi, Frank.
Hello, Dave.
Well, this must be a vicarious pleasure. What are the benefits of going on vacation?
Well, there's a clear correlation between taking a vacation and well-being. It's a correlation. I use that word very specifically. But if you are one who reports to us that you regularly take vacations, you separately are much higher on a number of our HealthWays well-being indices. So there's a definite correlation there. We're not positive which way it goes. Maybe if you have higher well-being, you feel better about taking a vacation. But I think it's very reasonable, Dave, for us to assume that taking a vacation leads to higher well-being.
Though we can also presume that if you take frequent vacations, you have the disposable income to do so.
That's right. And our data clearly show that the propensity to take a vacation is positively correlated with income. In other words, just as you said, the more money you make, the more likely you are to take a vacation. But this relationship holds within every single income category. Even for those who make less than $24,000 a year in income, who aren't very likely to take a vacation in general, but those in that low-income category who do take a vacation have higher well-being than those in that low-income category who don't regularly take vacations.
Frank, I understand Gallup has new numbers on the association between depression and heart attack.
Indeed. Again, association is the key word here, Dave. It's a correlation, but our data show clearly if you tell us that you've had a heart attack at some point in your life, you are much more likely to say that you have been diagnosed with depression at some point in your life, and also more likely to say that you are currently depressed at the moment of our interview. Now, I say correlation because we all know in social science that correlation is no proof of causation. This could work both ways. That is, people who are depressed may be more likely to have a heart attack, and I think there's research which shows that. And on the other hand, having had a heart attack may lead one to depression. So it could work both ways, but nevertheless, the association is very statistically significant in the data.
Though, can we say that most people who have suffered from depression don't have heart attacks, and most people with heart attacks have not suffered from depression?
That's correct. Particularly in terms of heart attacks, the incidence of having had a heart attack is low overall in the population. It obviously increases with age, but that's right. We're talking about the minority of Americans who tell us that they've had a heart attack or who tell us that they either currently are depressed or have been diagnosed with depression at some point in their lives.
Frank, now 4 days out from President Barack Obama's State of the Union address, let's assess Americans' satisfaction with the way things are going in the United States.
It's at 32% now, and so President Obama can stand in front of congresspeople and other invited dignitaries and guests and members of the Supreme Court and military leaders will be in front of him and say, we are better off now than we were a year ago, because a year ago that was 23% of Americans who were satisfied. So clearly we're up. That 32%, in fact, is as high as we have seen it since the time of Obama's reelection, right there in November of 2012 when the number went up. But basically it's higher than we've seen in a long time. Now, I'm going to pause here for a moment, Dave, because 32% on an absolute basis, we should point out, is not great. That means about two-thirds of Americans are not satisfied with the way things are going in the U.S., but on a relative basis, that's clearly up from the depths where that measure has been in previous months and years.
I presume it's up in large part because of better economic news.
I think that's correct. All of our economic indicators, as we've talked about, have been going up. We every January ask Americans to rate their satisfaction with a long list, over 25 different elements of life in the United States. And two of the things that have really jumped from last year are overall quality of life in the United States and the economy in the U.S. So it is reasonable to assume that that overall level of satisfaction is related to these upticks that we have been measuring in terms of overall economic confidence.
Take us to the bottom of the list.
Well, what has dropped most from last year, perhaps not surprising, race relations down 25 points. In other words, American satisfaction with race relations to the United States has plummeted from January of last year. I say that's no surprise given all what we've been going over in the news over the last, particularly the last half of 2014. And also the other measure that dropped was confidence in the nation's security from terrorism. That is also down from last year.
We touched on the president. Any surprise regarding the approval rating for Congress?
Well, the surprise there, Dave, is probably that it hasn't gone up. 16% is our January number, and everything else we've been talking about is up. Obama's approval rating, 46% average last week. That's higher than it has been. Economic numbers are up. Satisfaction is up. But Congress, flat as a pancake, 16% rating. Not as bad as it has been in history, but that's a pretty terrible number overall. I expect that that Congress approval number may go up in the months to come because Republicans are going to realize they control both houses and probably give us some more positive numbers in our ratings. But at least as of early January, Congress is still stuck down there at a very low number.
What is the favorable rating for Republicans and Democrats?
Both of those are low. The last time we measured it was a couple of months ago after the November elections. Republicans were higher than Democrats. Republicans at a 42% favorable, Democrats at a 36% favorable. That's for the two parties. But Dave, what I think is interesting is when you average those, you come out to a 39% average favorable rating for the two parties. And that's one of the lowest average ratings for the two parties that we've seen in history. So in other words, Americans are kind of saying, you know, I don't necessarily like either of the two major political parties.
Thanks, Frank.
You bet, Dave.
Frank Newport, editor-in-chief at the Gallup Poll. He joins us each week at this time on Newsworks Tonight.